White Aryan Resistance calling. White Aryan Resistance calling. This is the White Aryan Resistance Radio Network. Your host for today's show is Tom Metzger, Terrible Tommy. So get a spot of tea, sit down and relax, because it's time for another show on the White Aryan Resistance Radio Network.
Method of passing out leaflets on street corners is not a thing of the past, but their ugly messages reach far larger audiences today thanks to TV. And as I said, that's what our program is about tonight. And Vernon Richardson, our producer, called Tom Metzger. He's in Fallbrook, California, where he heads the White Aryan Resistance. He produces one of many programs, 24 of them, in fact, 24 of them that preach bigotry and racism. And this is what happens when you call him on the phone.
You have tuned to Resistance Radio Station, WAR 88 on the dial, transmitting from our well-fortified and concealed pillbox here on the Mexican border. But watch out, boys. A bunch of those wetbacks are coming over the hill over there. Looks like they're armed, too. Better arm yourself. Hey, here they come. Hey, get them. Okay, there's three of them. Yeah. Okay, you got them. Yeah, there's three of them. There's another one. Coming around the corner. Get him. Okay, Charlie. You got him. Yeah. Boy, I'll tell you, man, things get pretty hot here on the border while we got them. So on with our Wednesday transmission. Dateline, New York City, the Anti-Defecation League. Special report is out on electronic hate or bigotry comes to TV. That's the title. Of course, Race and Reason is on top of the hit list again. We made it, boys, we made it. The new report on correct speech and correct thought includes several sneaky ways to limit Race and Reason's effectiveness, like playing our shows after 12 o'clock midnight, or like one city did, they played our TV show at 4 in the morning. Didn't they ever hear that people had timers on VCRs? Some of these Jews are not too smart. I am proud of my enemies, especially the real ratty ones. The more your enemy tests you, the more you rise to that old challenge, right? I'm instructing all our friends nationwide to go to your local cable vision system tomorrow, sign up, and take a free and easy instruction course to produce your own TV show in your own neighborhood. War will give you all the details. Just give us a call or write us. And let's shoot for a lot more TV shows nationwide. Let's outproduce them now. Let's really give them trouble, especially you young people.
That's what it sounds like, and we're going to take it out. You get the general idea. I have on the newsmaker line, and I will speak with Tom Metzger later. Metzger is the owner of the voice you've just heard. I have on the newsmaker line Mr. Ken Stern. He specializes in the subject that you've just heard, anti-Semitism and extremism for the American Jewish Committee. Mr. Stern.
Hi, Barry. How you doing?
Fine. How long has this been going on?
Oh, well, this targeting of cable access television has been going on basically through the 80s and now into the 90s. And it's not only by people like Tom Metzger, there are others. Louis Farrakhan is doing it as well with some of his tapes. There are some other ones that are targeted specifically towards anti-Semitism and towards Israel, others towards basically every different group. And there are about 50-some-odd different programs. They're in about 38 different markets. And one way to look at that is that it's not that significant a problem because there are 38 markets and there are 8,000 cable systems across the country. On the other hand, to look at it as a very significant problem, over half of the households do have cable. These programs are in 24 of the 100 largest markets, and they're spreading hate. And the thing that's the real key to it is that people like Tom Metzger know they can touch a nerve with programs like this. The real test is how the good people respond to it.
And how are they responding?
It varies. A lot of people will have good instincts in responding to this, thinking that this is a horrible thing. I mean, you just heard the tip of the iceberg on Metzger's tape. It's genocidal stuff, and people really don't like having that in their community. Sometimes, though, the debate degenerates into whether somebody like a Metzger has a First Amendment right, and it takes away from other things. Instead of debating whether he should have a First Amendment right, and the cable access law is set up in a way that he clearly does have a right to have people put on programs like this if they do it in the proper way, the answer is, I think, to galvanize around that, see this as an opportunity, and to develop things in the community that are going to outlast it. For example, in Cincinnati, there were programs that were being put forward on the local cable system, and the American Jewish Committee, in conjunction with other groups, not only did counter-programming that really drowned out the hate programs, but they also set up networks and youth hotlines and other things to really take the opportunity to talk about bigotry in the community. I think that's a good response.
Who pays for it, Ken Stern?
Well, the local way that cable access is set up is that it basically, depending on the different types of systems, it's either the cable subscribers ultimately or the cable system themselves. The idea of the Cable Act, Communication Policy Act of 1984 that set up the local cable access program is that so anybody could walk in. It's a return for having the fees. That anybody could walk in and do a good program or do any type of program and use the facilities of the station. And that's, the debate in many cities. The debate has been, well, we can't regulate the content of the speech. Let's just get rid of the cable access system. And that, I think, is a shallow answer, too, because it in many places has galvanized good people to come in and make use of this free service to put on a lot of very good programming.
I have cable access TV, as I'm sure many of our listeners do, and I'm hard-pressed to remember any one of the programs that I watch.
Right. New York does not have, these programs on it, which are somewhat memorable. And there are, other places around the country, though, that have done better things with them, usually smaller communities, town forum types of things, people bringing in local newsmakers and doing interviews. So it has been a very positive thing in some communities, but you're right, it's a hit or miss thing, and there's so much to choose from in New York that it really hasn't taken off that much
but
here.
Does Metzger get contributions? Does he solicit support? He must.
Oh, sure. Tom Metzger uses this and, other ways, selling his newspaper, selling T-shirts, hate hotlines. He tries to get support from the people that are going to send him $15 and $20 and $30 around the country, and this helps him. On the other hand, if you look at the way that some of these scenarios have played out in the local communities where it requires, under the cable access law, somebody in the local community to give over the tape, after there's been a lot of controversy and after a period of time, people usually generally lose interest, including his supporters. So you'll see it for two or three or four or 5 weeks in an area, and then sometimes it more likely to fade away than not.
Your attack got this response from Metzger. He says, I'm proud to be on the top of their list. It's a tremendous compliment.
Well, I'm sure he would say that. He has been doing this for a long time. His profession is hate, and he is obviously going to take credit for anything he can. On the other hand, Tom Metzger should also tell you that the Southern Poverty Law Center, in association with the Anti-Defamation League, sued him for the result of his hatred, which was the instigation of some young skinheads in Portland to kill an Ethiopian immigrant, and he had a $12.5 million judgment levied against him.
What
so
happened
I don't
to
guess
that?
He's, I don't guess he's happy
did
about
he,
that.
Did he pay it?
They're taking his house, they're seizing his assets, and I suspect sooner or later the Morris Lees and these and the other bright lawyers are going to find ways of taking his video cassettes.
But actually, they haven't gotten anywhere near $12 million.
No, I'm sure he doesn't have it, but it's ultimately going to put him out of business, I would think. He's also been sued recently by whoever, I forget which is the owner of the Bart Simpson cartoon, because he was putting out T-shirts with Bart Simpson's image on it saying something about a Nazi dude and infringing their copyright, and he's being sued for that as well.
But they haven't put him out of business.
No. And there are other people there, too. It's not just Metzger. Let me give you a little bit of vignette from another one so you get a little bit of another taste. There's a guy by the name of Ted Pike, who's also on the West Coast in Oregon City, Oregon, who has something that's much slicker than Tom Metzger's stuff. This is called The Other Israel, and it's a videotape that opens with somebody standing behind in front of a picture of the Dome of the Rock, and it starts out like this. Every year, thousands of pilgrims come to this place, Palestine, to discover their spiritual roots. Yet today, it is not just religious. Mankind in general is turning their attention to this land. Most of us realize if World War III erupts, it could begin right here in a collision between Arab and Jew. What are the causes of this conflict, a conflict which never seems to go away? And with music and shifting scenes in the background, he continues, before Zionist settlers came here about the turn of the century, this religion was not particularly known for strife. Yet since then it has known little but strife. Is there something within Judaism itself that acts as an abrasive on this land? And they basically then go into a synagogue library and answer the question that the sacred teachings, they talk about the Talmud encouraging Jews to seduce infant girls and talks about deicide and so forth.
Mr.
And that's
Stern,
a much slicker thing than Metzger's.
Well, how long has it been going on, Ken Cern?
It's been going on for about 8-9 years now, and it's continuing because it's an easy thing for these groups to do.
It's an easy thing for these groups to do, but the best that they've managed to do so far is to sue them and win in a judgment that they'll never collect?
Well, ultimately, it's going to take him out of business in the sense that he's losing his house and they're seizing his assets. And the other thing that...
I doubt that very much.
No, it's true. They're going to ask him about the judgment when you talk to him. But the other thing that I think is much more significant, if you look at the places where, you know, this type of stuff has been pandered in the local cable community, the places that have really thought through what they're doing with it, both the politicians that have decided not to pander to this issue and the local cable people that really care about the community and the other groups that see the venom that he spews forth as affecting everybody in the community, not just the like, little clip that you had of immigrants.
He's now seen in Phoenix, Denver, New Haven, Tampa, Atlanta, Chicago, Boston, St. Paul, Springfield, Missouri, Albuquerque, Cincinnati, Portland, Pittsburgh, Houston, Richmond, and Seattle.
Indeed. Not always all the time on those stations, and he is seen at odd hours on cable access, which on one hand, very few people watch. On the other hand, I think there's a statistic that says that of the people that own cable, I think it's about half will flip through the cable access station once per month. But obviously, if you look at Pittsburgh, which recently had an episode with this and other communities, you know, there's a splash when there's a debate about that in the beginning, and then people sort of don't, you know, pay that much attention to it anymore. If you put other programs around it and use it as an opportunity, people will pay attention to that.
Let me put you on the phone, if I may. Ken Stern, he's with the American Jewish Committee, and we're talking about hate TV. Electronic hate has been called, Bigotry Comes to TV, and that's the title of the report that was released by the Anti-Defamation League. And we are on WOR 391-2800. Your comments, your questions, statements, you name it. 391-2800.
What happened?
Yes, how do you do? I just wanted to make a comment. I didn't think it was fair to put Mr. Farrakhan with somebody like Metzger. I don't agree with everything Mr. Farrakhan does, but he does do some good things for his community. I have a question also. Does he solicit funds, this guy Metzger? And is he ever ordered as to what he does with these funds?
Mr. Cern?
Well, let me answer those questions sequentially. Farrakhan tapes, including ones that he's referred to whites as devils, he's called, you know, Jews as basically, you know, committing deicide and said things that Hitler's a great man. So I disagree with you about the hate that he's spreading. As to Tom Metzger, certainly, you know, he is, his actual line of work, in case you want to know, is a television repairman. But he is trying to collect funds from around the country through a network of people. He asks people through his newspaper. I don't know that there are any big backers. There's a report that apparently there are some people that are helping him out with his cable show and trying to get that out. But he needs very little to spread hate. Spreading hate is a cheap job. And he is doing it very effectively on a very small budget, especially since he's really gotten a lot of skinhead groups around the country to help him out with it. It's very cheap for him to do.
Any more comments, sir? Metzger, head of the Fallbrook, California-based White Aryan Resistance Group under the title Race and Reason. Mr. Metzger is quoted as saying, "I'm proud to be on top of their list. It's a tremendous compliment." And that's what we're talking about. The programs are seen throughout America, albeit at odd hours and on comparatively small stations. But nine cable programs, companies, air the programs in San Diego and Los Angeles and Carlsbad and Garden Grove and San Francisco, Santa Barbara, Torrance and Vista. And there are some other top markets ranging from Phoenix to Seattle. And we'll talk with Mr. Tom Metzger in a little bit. Right now, I have Ken Stern on the line. He's of the American Jewish Committee. We'll pick up the calls in a moment. 391-2800.
Notion. It's a very insidious thing, and I think it's something we're going to hear more of in the years to come. I don't think cable access is having a significant impact on that, but I think talk radio more so.
Ted in Brooklyn. Ted?
Hi. Yes. Yeah, Mr. Stern said that we can't have censorship in the media. I believe that our media has been tightly controlled by a small group of people for a very long time. And all you have to do is look at the Andy Rooney incident or the Days of Rage incident where WNEW was...
What are you getting at, sir? I don't follow you.
Well, I'm saying that it's refreshing to see, hate on TV because or the radio, because we've had years of censorship by a small group of liberal...
Well, we're not censored here.
Sure. All I'd have to do is say the wrong word, and I'd be off in a second.
No, what you have to do is exhibit stupidity, and I say goodnight to you like now. A real sphincter muscle crept into the program. Lee, you're on the line.
It generally is working against free speech, and it makes the group look bad insofar that if you're trying to silence people, it looks as if you have the weaker argument. And Spike Lee's new film, Jungle Fever, is really pretty vicious in a lot of subtle ways. But I don't think you go around trying to silence people. And
was anybody trying to silence Spike Lee?
No, what Mr. Stern is doing, he's like waltzing around the issue. He's unhappy about what's going on, but he doesn't want to come out and stop it. But I think if he had the ability, he might be...
Mr. Stern?
No, I mean, let me tell you, I think you have it absolutely backwards.
Are you waltzing?
I'm not waltzing at all. I don't dance at all, believe me. What I'm saying on this is very, very clear. Hate lives... We should look at it realistically. We should look at it in context. We should recognize that there are people out there spreading this stuff. And what we do as a society is much more important than what the Metzgers do. There's always going to be a Tom Metzger. There's always going to be a Louis Farrakhan out there. What we do when they give us the opportunities, when they come out from underneath their rocks and show us that hate lives, how we deal with it without censoring them, without saying we're just going to push them back down under their rocks, but how we try to create a structure that's better for all of us in the long run is really the important thing.
Any comments?
Very ambiguously of a structure, it gets very strange. I mean, there are a lot of these issues do have some validity, and that's how they take root. It isn't simply enough to just brand them hate like some sort of cartoon.
Do you believe there was a Holocaust?
Well, I do, but I have no personal knowledge, but that's what I was taught. I think this thing about the Holocaust is some sort of backlash, because when I grew up in the school system, the casualties in the war, I thought, were only Jewish. I mean, there was such an emphasis on it to such a degree, I was amazed to find out it was a small part of the whole picture.
Yeah, but what the Metzgers are saying is that there were very few Jews killed, that the people that were the victims were the Germans, that there was a Holocaust against Germans, that Americans and British perpetrated it, and that there were very few Jews.
Well, what I'm saying is I think there's been a great distortion in the Jewish press trying to emphasize what happened to them as victims to such a degree, and they're very energetic about reminding people of it. And in a way, it denigrates the suffering of enormous tens of millions of other people. And a lot of people respond to that in a negative way. And I think there's distortions on all sides.
On that, I disagree with you entirely. If you look at the recent thing with the Kurds, the Jewish groups, and among many others, were out there very much in front saying, this is something that happened to us, and we're very concerned about it happening to anybody.
I thank you, Sir Tom Metzger, who heads the White Aryan Resistance Program, and he produces Race and Reason. Mr. Metzger.
How do you do?
I'm fine, thank you, sir. How did you get this way? What started it?
Well, I would say about 15, 20 years ago, I began to see what was happening to white people in this country and how the government was beginning through reverse discrimination and all their great moves to force integration that we were losing our so-called rights, which are actually privileges that the government seems to grant us. And as my political activity went on and became more broadened out across the spectrum and the country, I decided to put on a television show. So in 1984, we produced our first half-hour television show for cable access TV, and we've produced about 150 shows since then. And we've been seen all over the country, and we're adding more and more cable systems each month.
What's your reaction to this report by the Anti-Defamation League?
Well, since the Anti-Defamation League is a private vigilante group that seeks out targets who do not agree with their philosophy or their position, obviously, on Israel and other things, I feel quite complimented because I do not see the Anti-Defamation League as being what they claim to be, and that is this sort of a civil rights group looking out for everybody's best interest. They are not that at all, and they need to be investigated more and more.
And the Jewish people in the United States, how do you feel about them?
Well, I think they surely have false leadership, and I think they had better try to get some new leadership that worries a little bit more about the United States and less about Israel. I think that they'd better stop being so thin-skinned and have such chips on their shoulder. And I would warn them not to come down so hard on free speech like they have in Canada, where they've almost cut off free speech in Canada and other countries of Europe, because I don't believe that America is ready for that kind of thought police.
And what of black people?
Well, what about black people? They're here. They're part of the natural scheme of things, and I do believe in racial separation. I believe in the self-determination of people and the self-determination of races. That, to me, is an ideal, whereas the other side say that integration in the dissolution of both the black and the white race is a wonderful thing. I don't believe so.
By segregation, how would that work, in your view?
Well, I don't believe in segregation, which is the rich man's way of doing things, and that's having a black man work for you in the daytime, but you won't socialize with him in the evening. I believe in total racial separation as an absolute best type thing in the long run.
But how would that work? That's what I'm trying to find.
Well, if we could get so forcefully integrated and not have freedom of choice for that over the last 40 years, I imagine that we could develop programs that would encourage, through at least freedom of choice, people to be able to socialize and live around and work around the people they would like to work with, and have the private clubs and the private bars and so forth. And I believe, my personal self, the amount of black people that I've known around the United States and had very long talks with, there's a sizable amount of black people that aren't into forced integration.
Who supports your programs?
Actually, the taxpayers of California support my program, I guess, because, well, actually, the cable companies have an agreement with the cities because they are a monopoly, and then they have to sign a contract for the showing this channel, this public access channel. And then they have to leave it open for anyone in the community to produce a television show. Mm-hmm. Now, for the people who don't like my show, I say you're lazy, get off your butts, and make your own show. Because I believe that they put knobs on TV sets for one reason. If you don't like the show, you change the channel.
Okay. You produce the Joe Goyim show.
No, I don't. I only produce Race and Reason.
What is Race and Reason?
Race and Reason was taken from a title of a book by Carlton Putnam, a very prolific writer about 20 years ago, who looked down the road and saw the dangers of integration to white society, and also to technically to black society. We took that name, and we produce here in California. We do have Race and Reason being produced by Dr. Herbert Poinsett in Tampa, Florida also.
Uh-huh.
He produces. He has a regular call-in talk show. Then there are other people around the country, which we have encouraged to start their own television shows. So we have pioneered it.
I see. And where does it appear in California and perhaps other places, apart from the thing you've just told me?
Well, I really don't have a list right in front of me, but we're all over the United States, and we're in, I would say, 30 to 35 cities now.
Yeah, what is
and,
it?
And many more markets than what the American Jewish Committee has been able to check out.
What does it consist of, the program?
Well, it's a little bit like a meet the press atmosphere. I'm the host of the show, and in most of the shows, I simply interview people. Some are simply individuals supporting their own views, and sometimes these are leaders that represent groups. Now, we have had all kinds of people on the show. We've had various extremes, from the extreme left to the extreme so-called right. We've had Nazis, we've had Klansmen, we've had revisionist historians on, we've had anti-abortionists, we've had black veterans on complaining about the illegal alien invasion across the border affecting both black and white jobs. We've had Muslims on talking about the problems of the Middle East. So we've done a lot of shows.
Okay. You obviously would like to be on the telephone.
On the telephone?
Yes, with our listeners.
Sure.
Okay. 391-2800. Mr. Tom Metzger's on the line. By the way, where is Fallbrook, California?
Fallbrook, California is about 1 hour. I think the Jews have a disproportionate control of the media in the United States. I think other people who seem like assimilated Jews that are not Jews seem to be the bulk of it, too. But we can't blame it all on the Jews because we have
they usually work for them, though.
What's your point, sir? Where are you going?
Well, I was just wondering what he feels about it.
How do you feel about it?
Yeah, I think you people control the media through advertising too. It's not only physical control.
Okay, I'll be sure and tell Coca-Cola when they come in. Bernie, you're next.
Yes, I'd like to ask two questions.
One is,
what do you think of David Duke? And I'd like to know in what way you agree with him and what way you disagree with him.
David Duke we were associated for some time back in the 70s and worked together on several very successful projects. David went his way with the National Association for the Advancement of White People, and we went our way into white Aryan resistance. We watched David Duke's successes and failures very closely because of the political impact he does have. We tend to feel that he's a little bit too moderate. We tend to feel that David Duke backs down a little bit too much. However, we think he should have every right to do that. And if he is successful in carrying the banner for the average white person in this country using the methods he does, then we would support that.
I see. I also know that you lost a judgment in the death of an Ethiopian black, and your house was and business were taken to compensate the family. I'd like to know how you're making out on that in that respect, and whether you still have your house and you still have your business, or has that family been able to collect?
Well, actually, the family's collected almost nothing, but I would say this, that due to this perjured and bribed testimony that caused all this problem in Portland, Oregon, they did get a sister state judgment. They did raid my place a couple of weeks ago. They took all my tools and my bit of the trade and so forth. They actually raided my house. And very interestingly, took all videotapes and all audio tapes in the entire house. They did not take anything else but video decks and videotapes.
Why do you think?
Well, a local ADL leader was bragging about it, saying, now we put Race and Reason off the air. So their entire intent was not really to help the family of the man who was killed in that suit. Their intent is to stop me, because after that suit was won by the other side, and it is on appeal right now, I was given a contract and asked to sign it. that contract said that I could live in my house and I could keep my business if I would sign a contract agreeing not to make any speeches, not to produce any television shows, not to appear on any television shows. In short, if I would retire from the racial movement, to which I said, you've got to be out of your mind. And so this has been the target all along. It has nothing to do with a dead Ethiopian in Portland. It was just an excuse to target Tom Metzger. But we're still, I'm still in the House. And we're fighting them in the courts, even though most attorneys will not take our case for us. I have to do much of the legal work myself.
I now have on the newsmaker line.
Question.
I have no
There's
idea.
Obviously people of all races who desire to mix with others. It's just that we don't agree with that.
I can only approach the fact that we're working on a full moon. Mr. Metzger, we're going to continue after the news on programs that preach racial and religious hatred on public access channels. And of these, 31 produced by Tom Metzger. He's the head of the Fallbrook, California, White Aryan Resistance Group, and the program is under the title Race and Reason.
An Aryan, in our terminology, is a Euro-American person, a person who may be from almost any country of Europe or Eastern Europe or white Russia, who may reside now in South Africa, Australia, Canada, or many other areas of the world.
And how do you find out if you're Aryan or not?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Number one, you should be white, and number two, you should act Aryan. And to act Aryan is to act and do the best you can to support your family, your neighborhood, and your race. And your race is very important, as other people say that their race is very important.
I see. Okay, next call, and that's Mike in New Jersey.
I was just curious whether you did, because, you know, both of these songs, which people throughout the world sing, was written by a Jewish composer.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah. That's why you didn't answer my question, probably.
Okay.
Well, anyhow, that to me is superfluous, but the point is, you know, you had a fellow on here called Ken Stern, the American Jewish Committee. Now, if you want to watch out for somebody that's going to hurt your free speech, they just had a national survey surveying talk shows. And the results of that survey, from what I heard, was that they're very concerned that there's too much totally free speech on talk radio around the country, and Americans are being too vocal, and they're worried about that.
No, but I talked with Mr. Stern, and I've talked to many of the members of the American Jewish Committee, and never once have they said or implied in any way that those programs should be removed. What they're talking about is calling attention to the programs and exposing their point of view and having other people talk about it.
Well, we find throughout the country, though, that many talk show hosts, especially on a national scale, are able to arbitrarily bleep out just about anybody that they don't like or any line of thinking they don't like. And we see that all over the country. If you start with any kind of facts or anything criticizing Israel, the Jews, usually you're not going to stay on very long. And also, if you get into the racial discussion and racial argument, usually people get bounced off. And so what the American Jewish Committee would like to do is tighten up these things,
Mr. Metzger,
so that these people could be bleeped totally.
How do you account for the fact that I've asked you to be on the air in the largest Jewish community in the world and on the largest a radio station in America?
Well, the great reason for that is making money and ratings and selling a lot of soap.
Mr. Metzger, I must tell you that I enjoy and enjoyed and enjoy a phenomenal
thing that every talk show host in the country, but I am saying you call in to Rush Limbaugh or some of the top ones in the country and you mention Jew or you mention black in less than the most glowing terms, and you're out of there, boy.
Okay.
It doesn't make any difference how many facts you have.
I thank you. David, you're on the line.
Yes, good evening, gentlemen. Mr. Metzger, a question. I'm a student at Rutgers University here in New Jersey, and I have an honors project in South African studies, especially South African white supremacist groups. I'm wondering, what is your feeling, and what is the feeling of your organization now that apartheid is dead, and South Africa realizes that a system of separation just didn't work the way they hoped it would?
Well, what that came about was because they brought in massive amounts of blacks for cheap labor, the same way we've done bringing Mexicans and others into this country for cheap labor, and they became victims of their own greed. I would say this, that the Afrikaner is not going to give up down there, and I do support the separatist Afrikaners in their fight to the death in South Africa, not that to run all the blacks out of South Africa, but to at least have a separate situation where the whites will continue their culture.
Okay. David, you're next. I'm sorry. It's Elsie.
Yeah, it's Elsie. What I would like to know is where Mr. Metzger came from, who his father, grandfather, and great-grandfather was, because I think the name Metzger is a very Jewish name.
Well, I do think a lot of Jews have adopted the name Metzger, as they did in Germany, the same way many black slaves adopted the names of their masters on the plantation. At one time in Germany, the people were given, Jews were given a choice. The poor Jews simply took the names of the people they worked for. The richer Jews that were doing better, they took Rubinstein and all these other fancy-sounding names. So it's German. Metzger means butcher in German.
Are you German?
German and British.
I see. And what did your parents do?
My parents were factory workers, and they worked the land. They were farmers. And my ancestry in this country, we've been here for hundreds of years. We fought in the Revolution. We fought in the Civil War. We fought in the Whiskey Rebellions and all kinds of things in this country. We've been here a long time.
You make, when you say Jew or Jewish, you make it sound as an epithet.
Well, that's in your ears. I mean, I must admit that a sizable number of my, of the people who hate Tom Metzger and do everything they can to make things miserable for him just so happen to be Jewish. And, I mean, that has its, takes its toll after a few years.
Okay. Next call, and that's Florence.
Hi, Barry.
Hi.
I work for the Columbian Coalition. And with that, the ADL happened to work very closely with them when they tried to form an anti-defamation league. Now, if the ADL is only for their own people, why on earth would they go out of their way to form such a group? It's no longer, you know, in working. But, I mean, the ADL was very active with the Italian people to form a group for them.
So what are you saying?
I'm just saying this man, Metzger, seems to think that the Jews only want to help their own people when, in truth, they help all people.
Well, the Anti-Defamation League is just that. It's anti-defamation. It does not abide by religious lines.
Well, this is not true at all. The Anti-Defamation
League... No, it's not true according to you, Mr. Metzger.
...keeps tremendous files on all kinds of people, and their idea of defamation is many times different than what a lot of other people, both white and black, would see. But I can tell you one thing. The Anti-Defamation League will use other cases that happen to be black and so forth to further their own...
As far as you're concerned, those are the buzzwords. Okay, Sam in Brooklyn.
Mr. Metzger.
Yes.
Since you produce your own shows, are your shows paid with paid actors, bit players, setups, props, or do you control the whole show, or...
We have volunteers volunteers of our from our political association that come in and handle the camera that don't like for white people to talk like that.
Okay, thank you. Next call, is it Ragnar?
Mr. Ragnar.
Yes.
Yes, hello, Mr. Metzger.
Hello.
This is actually Ted from Brooklyn.
How you doing?
Don't give up the fight. Hail victory, because I've been slanted and turned around in college. I've been discriminated against in a scholarship. And I happen to be the first in the class. I'm always getting that kind of guff.
I
think millions of white working Americans and students are beginning to see what's going on, and the system is trying desperately to try to pretend it's not happening.
But are you seen in the New York area, by the way?
Not right now in New York City. We were on Manhattan Cable, but we're not on there right at this time.
Why?
Because all of our people are volunteer, and sometimes they'll move and go to another state or another neighborhood where they can't put it on.
Chronic over here. You know, they say they don't like supremacy, but supremacy is very prevalent over here. And it's okay if you're a black supremacist, you know, like in the yoke of Malcolm X, and it's okay if you're a Jewish supremacist,
but it's not okay to be a white supremacist.
Well, a lot of the articles I read for the New York papers would seem like that's the case. I see a lot of the Jewish groups down there that even have almost their own police forces in New York, and woe be it to anyone who walks across their turf. But yes, this black power, black racism is condoned in this country, and extreme, you can't call it exactly racism, but an extreme Zionist or whatever you want to call outlook is totally tolerated in this country and fawned upon, and most people in power are afraid to go up against it because they'll be destroyed.
What do you think of the President of the United States? How's he doing?
I think he's a jerk.
Now, why?
I think he's just a pawn of the corporate states of America. He's just a pawn of the transnational corporations, and whatever they decide to do, he's their errand boy. That's all he's ever been.
And what of previous presidents? Did you like any of them?
And I'd have to go quite a ways back to find one that I really liked a lot.
Which one?
Gee, I'd have to go way back. To tell you, one of my favorites was Andrew Jackson, who brought the debt of the United States to zero. He opened up the West to white colonization. He fought it out on the front steps of the White House with a would-be assassin, shot it out, and he was one hell of a president. I think Lincoln had some very good ideas, because Lincoln was a white supremacist, and all of his writings show that. He believed in racial separation, and eventually what he wanted to do was repatriate black people back to their native lands. Unfortunately, he was shot before any kind of these humanitarian programs could be put in place.
How are you doing with the governors of California?
Well, I know Pete Wilson, and Pete Wilson is another little jerk from San Diego. He was not that good of mayor, and he's just a big yes man to the big money boys and the corporations, and he'll do well because those are the boys that always do well.
And what of the previous governors?
Duke Majan.
Yeah.
Duke Majan was probably a little better than Wilson will be, but he'll hear again. The governor of the state of California will not take a stand on the border problem. Our border is wide open. The state is going broke here. I'm watching the meetings on finance from the state capitol on television every day, and they're crying about they've got no money, but their schools are filled with illegal aliens and Asians coming over here. It's just a flood coming in, and then they're crying because our resources are going.
You mentioned earlier, Mr. Metzger, that you have a fine family, and I'm sure they are, 6 children.
Yes.
How old are they?
Well, they range in age from 6 to 27.
So they've all been, they're in school and been in school.
Yes, they have.
And public schools, I assume.
Yes.
How do they feel about your point of view?
I believe that all of them support my point of view almost 100%. Obviously, they are individuals and have the right to think the way they want to think. But they have been very supportive of me throughout the years. At least 3 of these young people are working with me in the association right now. 2 of them are in elementary school and not old enough to, and like that. So we've had a very close family and very supportive.
Any Jews or blacks in Fallbrook?
Yes, there are primarily black Marines that are here at Camp Pendleton. But not a lot of black people in this county. We have a tremendous amount of illegal aliens from Mexico, from Central America, just swarming over us like a brown flood. There are Jews. There's a lot of rich Jews have moved in here and set up their big houses on top of the hill. And some of them I've talked to, and some they don't want to talk to me.
The ones you've talked to, what do you talk about?
Well, we talk about things we can agree on and sort of leave the other things aside. When I walk downtown in this town, it's not uncommon for 6 people to, at one point or another, come up to me and talk to me and be real friendly.
Uh-huh.
If a person comes up to me and doesn't jump on my chest and start screaming, I'm a Jew, and if he says, gee, I just want to talk to you, and we sit down and talk about issues, I have no problem with that. But if a Jew comes up to me and starts pushing his Jew stuff at me, his Jewishness, like right off the top, hey, I'm Jewish, now I want to talk, I say, get out of here.
Yeah. Which Jewish people in the community do you care for, or in the country for that matter?
the ones who forget about being Jewish and think more about being American.
I would imagine there are at least a few of those.
Yes, and I talk to those people, and anytime my phone's is listed, anyone who wants to call me, and I do talk to Jews from time to time. But I think they got a rotten set of leaders, and I think that the mysticism and things that they follow are sort of ridiculous, because I'm not into religion myself.
At all?
At all.
And when you say mysticism, what does that mean?
Well, I think that Judaism is nonsense, and for that matter, I think religion in general is nonsense. I think it is a detriment to the white race. I think it's a detriment to the black race, and I think it's a detriment to people who say they're Jews. I think they'd be much better off to simply understand that we live in a natural world and work on it from that point of view.
Do you
not be worried about being whisked off on a cloud someplace.
You believe in God?
I believe in nature. I don't believe in this Jehovah Jewish nonsense.
Yeah, nature meaning what?
Well, I see nature around me. I appreciate nature. I mean, I see the trees, the animal world. I see all the great powers of the hurricanes and the volcanoes and things, and this impresses me. If there is a God, if there is a nature, that's where it's at, and that's all I need to know.
I see. How do you feel about black Marines?
Well, I think they're silly for going over and fighting the corporate wars, just as same as white guys are silly for going over and fighting the corporate wars. I think that it's ridiculous, and I think that it's because the blacks have just as bad a leadership as the whites do. I think that it's ridiculous, and I think that it's because the blacks have just as bad a leadership as the whites do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not being brave to go throw your life away for some sultan over in Kuwait and fix his fixtures up in his bathroom so he can have his harems and everything like that. I mean, this is absolutely insane, and we should not be involved in these things.
Have you believed in any war?
No, I think modern warfare is totally bad for all races, and I believe in personal combat. I believe that people should be able to maybe fight it out on the front steps or on the street. I believe that every person in this country should be free enough to carry a gun, but I don't believe we should march off to a government's tune into these foreign wars and get people killed by the millions.
You carry a gun?
Sometimes.
Have you been threatened?
I've been threatened thousands of times. There have been attempted assassinations on me. There have been contracts put out on me. They've shot holes in my house. They've thrown fire bombs at me. When I ran for Congress in the 43rd Congressional District and won the Democratic nomination, a man stood up in a meeting of the Democratic Party and tried to shoot me with a 25 automatic. I've had it all happen, but so far I'm still here.
The person that won the district, the congressional race, who was he?
Claire Bergner, who was a Republican, who was about a 7-time winner. He was very wealthy, and of course, this is a Republican district, so it was an uphill battle. I did as well as any Democrat I think ever did in this particular district. I spent a total of about $25,000 in a congressional race, which is peanuts.
You're a Democrat?
I was a registered Democrat, and I believe I still am.
And why?
Because I thought at one time there might be a chance of wresting the power back in the Democratic Party from these crazies that have taken it over and turn it back over to American working people. But unfortunately, the Democratic Party is hopelessly destroyed by issues like homosexualism and open the borders up and let the whole world in. And the Democrat Party has just gone absolutely mad.
What do you think should be done about homosexuals?
I think they're doing it to themselves. As far as homosexuals are concerned, they're a very small percentage of people in this country. I think it's...
Well, they say 10%. I don't know how, but that's what they say.
Who knows? All I know is that if a homosexual doesn't bother me, I don't bother him. I don't see it as a good lifestyle, and we surely don't promote it in our association. However, on the other hand, I don't promote people going out and beating up homosexuals and things like that either. I get blamed for saying that, but I don't do it.
Couple of more calls, and then we'll have to move on. Louise in Queens.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Mr. Metzer.
Yes.
I'd just like to ask you two questions. The first one is, what I understand you would like the separation of the races. Is that it?
I believe that we should have that option, yes.
Okay. Now, you talk with a little southern drawl. Probably you're not. But what I'm trying to say is, the Klan used to beat up and kill and maim. Do you really think that is right for the Aryans?
I think a majority of people who did the beating up and killing were not Klansmen at all. I'm sure Klansmen did it. I do know that during Reconstruction, they beat up and killed more carpetbaggers and northern financial people were coming down there to saddle the South with debt and so forth than they did blacks. I'm saying that during a time like that, excesses take place. I'm saying that during the 20s and so forth, I think that some of these things were absolutely uncalled for. But on the other hand, if there was somebody who was a child killer, a rapist in the community, whether they're black or white, I think that the Klan or anybody else would be good to string them up.
Okay. Last call, and that's Teresa.
Hello?
Yes.
Mr. Metz. Is that his name, Mr.
Metzger?
Metzger,
yes.
Okay, when you say white rights, what rights do you mean? I don't understand you because, first of all, a white majority here in this country control the economy. So what are you fighting for?
No, the white majority in this country do not control the economy. The 1% of the super rich in this country tied in to transnational corporations control the wealth of this country.
Okay, you said that you believe in separation of the races?
I believe that that is a good idea.
Okay, let me tell you something. I'm black. I can say African American. I love myself, and I don't want to be anybody else. I'm proud of who I am.
I love my race,
okay? But I just don't understand what you're talking about when you say rights, because everywhere you go, white people are in control. I mean, everywhere.
Well, this is the problem that you have, is that the black people look upon white people that they're in control. The majority of white people control nothing. The majority of white people are simply sheep that are shorn by the IRS and the government and the corporations, and everything the white people got in this country, the white working people, they had to fight for it. They had to fight for it in the unions, in the North, in the armies. They beat them down in the gutter, and they threw them in prisons and everything else. And there were white slaves here even before there were black slaves. A lot of people don't realize that. We were brought in here from Europe. So everything that the blacks have experienced, nearly whites have experienced the same kind of brutality.
Mr. Metzger, I thank you very much for being with me. It's been interesting to hear you speak.
Thank you, Barry.
And we'll speak again, I'm sure.
Goodbye to all my friends in New York.
Thank you. Tom Metzger, Fallbrook, California, head of the White Aryan Resistance, producer of the program called Race and Reason, which is seen in more than 50 markets, cable access markets around the country. And you heard him yourself.